What's up, gamers? Welcome to the Level 99 Daily Show for Tuesday, February 20th, 2018. Remember, this is your RPG podcast that releases every single weekday, and it's the show where I dive deep into the greatest genre in gaming. I'm your host, Philip. Let's get today's episode started. So today is probably going to be a little bit shorter of an episode, as there is no news that I really wanted to talk about that released since yesterday. And I've already covered the games that are releasing on the Switch for this week. So shorter segments, cutting segments out. We're actually just jumping into a topic today. This is sort of like a throwback to the Vault RPG mini podcast. Anybody remember that from a couple weeks ago? So today's topic is actually going to be about Dragon Age. And if you've never played this series, I'm sorry. This episode may not be of interest to you, or maybe it will be, because maybe you are interested in the Dragon Age franchise. They are actively working on the fourth Dragon Age game, so that's exciting. And so maybe that is a game that you're maybe looking forward to. And I'm not going to be giving away spoilers too much, so you're not going to be necessarily having a game ruined, but if you've never played the games, you may just be a little lost, so I apologize for that. But this is something that I really, really wanted to talk about, because the Dragon Age franchise is, to me, just a fantastic series. Now, it has its ups and downs for me, and I definitely have some strong opinions about all the three games so far. And the game that I really want to focus on today is Dragon Age Origins. And I'm going to be talking about things that I really liked about that game. I'm not necessarily going to be talking about the other games and talking about the things that I don't like. And this is not an episode that is lamenting the fall of Dragon Age, or saying that the newer Dragon Age games just aren't living up to the original. That's not it at all. Now, if some of the things that I cover, for instance, say things that I talk about that I really like from Origins, if that happens to be lacking in the, say, like Inquisition, and that's something that is just clearly lacking, and just by the very act of me saying how much I loved it in Origins, if that sounds like it's coming across like Inquisition was lacking in that area, then that's just what it is. But I'm not. This is not an episode where I'm throwing stones at the other games that are not Origins. I thought about doing that in this episode. I thought about presenting this as the why I just really, I don't think at this point we're ever going to get a Dragon Age game as good as Origins, but I'm not going to do that. That's not what this episode is about. This is just a celebration of Dragon Age Origins and some of the things that I just thought were just phenomenal, and one and some of the reasons why, in my eyes, this game is and will always be a masterpiece. Because I will be very open about my love for this game and my opinion that it's one of the greatest games that I've ever played, one of the greatest games that I think has ever been made. I have played it on the PC, which obviously is, to me, is the best way to play is on a PC. But I also have played on the PS3, which was not the most enjoyable experience, but I did play a lot of it. In fact, I got to the very end of that game on the PS3 and just never finished it. I got literally to the final boss section and just never finished it. Not only is Dragon Age Origins one of my favorite games, but, and this makes a lot of sense, but it is also one of my most played games. I'm not exactly sure how many times I've beaten Origins. I'm not even sure how many times I have started. There's no way to count that. There's no way to count how many different ways that I've played the game. So, anyway, before I gush just too much, let's just jump into some things discussing why exactly I like Dragon Age Origins and why, in my mind, it's a masterpiece. Now, if I think about what it's not, it's definitely not the graphics. Because looking back at it now, especially through the lens of some of the more recent RPGs that have been released, it's not the graphics. It doesn't really hold up that well. I mean, some of the character models, some of the animations are stiff. Some of the character models are stiff. The faces just sometimes look like potatoes. It almost have like the Oblivion effect. The Oblivion effect where the faces just look a little off. The lighting isn't great. The engine that it's in is just not, it just doesn't hold up well. That being said, I think it's just a gorgeous game. Beautiful. And in many ways, I think it's the most gorgeous of the three Dragon Age games. There are aspects of the art styles and the art directions and the graphic styles that I like from each games. But this one, and it may be nostalgia talking, but this may be my favorite look of any of the games. And for me, the look is a lot of what goes into the heart of the game. Like, the reason that the game to me has so much heart is the way that it looks. I can't really explain that. But so while the graphics aren't just the most pristine and the most gorgeous, to me there was a lot of heart in the way that it looked and in the direction that aesthetic took. Another thing that it's not is it's not necessarily the freedom exploring the world in that game. In fact, I talked a couple weeks ago about freedom of exploration versus narrative in video games. And there seems to be this sliding scale from one extreme to the other, where if you're going to focus on narrative, you're taking a lot of freedom and exploration away. And if you want to focus on open world freedom, sometimes narrative has to take a back seat. And I think that the games, the Dragon Age series itself, is a microcosm of that sliding scale. Because it's not the most open of game worlds. I mean, first of all, the maps are split into, you know, small little pods that you're running from one screen to the other. There's a map screen that you quick travel to other locations. There's no like overworld. You're not running from one city to the next. It's all through a map, a world map. So it's not necessarily the freedom of traversal in the world that really grips me like it does in an Elder Scrolls game. I go to the Elder Scrolls in part because of the freedom that I have to traverse that world however I want. One of the huge draws to Breath of the Wild for me was the freedom that I have to traverse the world however I want. That's not necessarily present in Dragon Age Origins. They went more that direction in Dragon Age Inquisition, but not necessarily in Dragon Age Origins. So it's not that that really grips me. But there are a multitude of things that do. And number one is the story, the plot of the game. This was one of the first games, and this is going to, Origins is a lot of firsts for me with video games. But it is one of the first where the plot and the story really hit home. Now, the actual first game that this happened would have been Final Fantasy X, where I was just hooked. That was like the first time that I realized that a video game could actually tell a story. And then Dragon Age Origins, to me, was the first story that I really felt super grounded in. Because there's a lot of, you know, far-fetched fantasy in Final Fantasy X. And while DAO is a fantasy game, it's set in a fantasy world, you have dragons, you have magic, and all that, there was still an element of it being very grounded and gritty, and it was one of the first times, as I was playing a game, that I just felt part of that world, and I was happy to be part of that world. So the story and plot is one aspect of its masterpiece status for me. I love the way that the player character, the character that you control, that you create, I love how it is incorporated in that story too. The way that you are thrust into a position of power, essentially, but it's not like the ultimate power. It's not a Skyrim situation where you are the Dovahkiin, you are this like prophesied, you know, demigod, you know, essentially turn into a demigod. Even once you max out your character in DAO, you are powerfully ranked. There are options where you can even become king, but that's still just a king, and you're just a man or just a woman, right? You're just a person in that world. And I think that's something that the game did excellently, is that it places you in the narrative in a position that really feels realistic, and it really you're in a situation where the world can truly just react around you based on what you've done and what you've chosen. My favorite storyline is, and to me, the definitive storyline of the game is the Kuzlin son or daughter, where your father is this lord of this house, and events happen, and you're taken away from that home, you're introduced to the Great Wardens, and so that whole storyline to me is the definitive storyline, and that's the, when I think about Dragon Age Origins, that's the one that I think about. And I love the fact that, yes, our family is powerful in the world to a point, but yeah, at the end of the day, I'm just my father's son, and I'm reacting throughout the story based off that position. And then I'm taken from there and placed in the Great Wardens, and because of events, then I'm placed in a position of authority in the Great Wardens. And so for the rest of the game, I am acting based on that position. So everything had a purpose, and every point that your character is at in his progression, both power-wise and then also story-wise, the story lets you see the world in a very realistic way from the position that you're in. And while I'm referencing the world, I've got to say that's another thing that really sets this game apart for me, is the way that the world is presented, the way that the world really feels grounded. Like I said, it's a fantasy setting, but it just feels so real to me. Every location, every city, every village, there are stories there. There are layers that you can peel back and look into, and there's always something going on under the surface of every location in that game that really brings the world alive. It's not just that they had the thousands of pages of codex entries that fleshed out the world, but it was literally, as you move through each location, you would hear lines of dialogue from random characters that added little pieces to the story. Or it's that you get a quest from someone, and it's just this small minor quest, but it adds so much layer and complexity to the politics, to race relations, socioeconomic status, literally every aspect of society and the world is shown through multiple layers in every location. I just think that's super, super well done. And what really added to the world was the fact that you were surrounded by characters who really felt like they were a part of it. They really felt like you were plucking them out of various strands of this cloth, of this blanket. Like you were tugging on different strings of this blanket, and then they were being weaved, you know, in your story. That they really did come from these different backgrounds and these different races and different gender and different social statuses, right? Every party member felt like they were actually coming from those places, and they were bringing their opinions, and they were bringing their beliefs, and they were bringing their prejudices, and they were bringing their baggage, and they were bringing their feelings to the party and to your experience. And the way that each of those party characters were presented and then executed to me was pretty much flawless. And is, in my opinion, the backbone of that game. Because you learn about the world, you learn about those people as people, but then you learn about your player, you know, how you want to play. You learn about that through conversations with those characters. You learn about yourself. Look, I mean, I said that this was a game of many firsts for me, and honestly, when I look back and think about my time with DAO, there's very few games that really impacted me and really shaped me as a person. You know, when we're talking in terms of video games, there's really nothing else out there, honestly. And that's just where it came, where, you know, and where I was in life at the time. It really shaped me, like, looking back. And so, like, you learn a lot about yourself, and you learn a lot about how you want to play your specific character based on the party members around you. And because they felt so real, the whole experience felt real. And the whole experience felt important and emotional and heavy. And there's very few games that I've played since then that really nail that feeling, like, in my gut, you know? So that's special to me. And the thing is, every character, there's not a party character in that game that I don't like. And my problem, honestly, is, like, I don't know who to take with me whenever I, you know, run missions, because I have some sort of emotional connection with each of them. You know, this was one of those experiences where I finished the game, and even, you know, finishing it the 10th time, not just the first time, but the 10th time, I wish that they were real people, because the game, like, makes me think that they are. You know, I have that a lot with TV shows. As soon as it's over, like, I'm just sad, because I just want those people to be real and their stories to be real, because I had some sort of emotional connection with it, you know, and this game did that for me. All those character stories, like, there's a part of me that, like, is hurt because those things that I've experienced with them and seen them grow through, at the end of the day, it's not real. And there's a part of me deep inside that is hurt by that, you know? So that's the type of emotional connection that I've had, you know, with that game. And I gotta say that one of the major reasons that all of the characters have so much life is because of the voice acting. I will say this is my favorite voice acted game I've ever played. I don't know if it's necessarily the best. I mean, there's some amazing voice acted games out there, and Troy Baker's not in it. He's my favorite voice actor. So, I mean, you know, there are just fantastic, phenomenal voice actors and voice actresses out there that are working now. And then, you know, you got games that Naughty Dog's putting out, and it's just, like, cinema level quality. So from that standpoint, no, it may not be the best technically, but I think it's still my favorite voice acted game, because every voice fit the characters, and every voice brought an emotional weight, and it brought wit, and it brought humor when it needed to. And it was just perfect tone-wise, and it was perfect characterization-wise, and it was perfect lore-wise. And I mean, honestly, to me, it was just really neat, because I'm pretty sure, like, literally every line of, like, literally every line, like, if you're talking to somebody, if it's spoken, you don't read dialogue. Every line of dialogue in that game was spoken. I'm almost positive. And as you're walking through towns, you're hearing people talk. If you click on an NPC, they're going to talk to you. There's so much spoken dialogue. Yes, there were reused voices, but that doesn't matter. I mean, I play Elder Scrolls, right? I mean, we're still hearing the same voices 15 years later. So that doesn't bother me. But, I mean, for every NPC, there was some sort of flavor or personality. And then whenever you get to the actual party characters, like, those voices, it is very difficult for me to hear those people's voices on characters from other games. It feels cheap because that was them. That game ruined Claudia Black for me because she's got a phenomenal voice, but she's always going to be Morgan. She just will always be Morgan. She will always be Morgan. So, and just getting back to talking about the world, to me, there was just so much of, and I've said this before, but there's just so much of an emotional weight to the game that is one of a kind. Just how weighty and how heavy they tie your emotions in, and they invest you into the struggles of the world. Because that's the thing, is that that world actually felt like it was in peril. That setting actually felt like there was tragedy going on, there was sorrow happening to actual people, there was this oncoming cataclysmic event that real individual people were having to muster, you know, just band together and try to stop. In a way, to me, it feels even more realistic than the cataclysmic feeling in like Lord of the Rings or something. And listen, that sounds heretical even coming out of my mouth because I love Lord of the Rings. And I love that world, but like, to me, the oncoming of the Blight, the way that they present it, and the way that every individual talks about it, and how it changes the way of life there, how it removes locations from the game, because after a while, like, the Blight has come through, and now that place is gone. And it changes the actual face of the world. Like, that world actually felt like there was stuff going on. And then I think one reason that the game really felt grounded to me was because that was sort of the overarching motive for a lot of things to happen, right? So the Blight's coming in. It's a cataclysmic, almost, you know, world-ending, quote-unquote, event by this faceless evil, essentially. Yes, I know there's the archdemon, but, like, you know, it's like the Dark Lord syndrome type deal. Like, he's not an active character. And the actual, you know, enemies in the Blight, like, we don't know them as individuals. But the thing that Origins did, I think, better than so many other games is that world-ending event was not really the main focus. Like, you're not going through that whole game necessarily focused every single moment on stopping it. Yes, it's the main motive. It's the spark that gets everything going. It's the Kickstarter. And yes, you're going around trying to amass this army. But for much of the game, it takes a backseat because every time you go to a new location, there is a set of problems specific to that location, that city, that village, that group of people. To me, that's very realistic because, yes, we can have like this looming darkness and this looming tragedy, this world, you know, world cataclysm, at a macro level, yes, but you will always then have micro issues once you dig down into the lives of individuals and the lives of groups of people. And a lot of games miss that. A lot of games focus so much on the macro that they miss the micro level of the problems of people. And so I think that's what Origins did, and the reason that I gravitate so much to it is because while they nailed the tone of the Blight and the peril of the world, they got the struggles and the tragedy of individuals. They got the social status, the social rank struggles. They got the racism struggles. They got this, the gender inequality struggles. They got the, just the basic, the indecency toward, toward life. They got insanity. They got depression. They got, they just nailed so many emotional tones on a micro level that so many games, when they focus on the macro, they forget about it, or they don't hit it quite as hard as Origins did. They show characters making impossible decisions or being faced with impossible decisions. And to me, that's when games hit that just right. That's when is something special, because like everything in life is not black and white. There are so many grays. There are so many decisions that there is no right answer. And this game really presents you with characters and sides where there are no right answers. There's no best option. And yet it's realistic. And so that's they didn't shy away from it. So from the story and the plot to the characters that are acting in that story, to the voice acting behind those characters, to the world, to the things happening in the world, to the people that populate the world. Everything works together to really create this setting and this game experience that I'll never forget. And that's just the world side of it. And then you've got the thousands of pages of codex and lore that you can read and just fill in like actual, world amount of knowledge, like actual history. Like I probably know more about that world than I do my own, it's that sad, And then you've got the combat, which to me is so fun and, untouchable. It was the first game when mechanics really started clicking for me. Like I'd played games before, sure, but this was the game where I started to understand things on a system level, and I could really start playing with the system and start taking things apart and trying out different combinations, because the way that they've got the they're essentially gambits, the instructions, right? I can't remember exactly what they're called, but you got gambits in Final Fantasy 12, and that's essentially what this is, right? It's a, if this happens, then attack this, attack this enemy, or if your health runs low, then use this ability to heal, use the heal ability. And it's when that system began to click that I started experimenting. I started trying new teams and new combinations of skills and different classes together. And I started getting it, and started building these like machines, these teams of machines, And so like the game really encouraged me to master it, get better at it, and then play on higher difficulties. And then it rewards me with challenging gameplay and challenging deep complex strategy. Well, you got a lot going on. You got a lot to think about. That's so fun. It was, and so it balanced fun, challenging gameplay with deep emotional, weighty story and world and individual characters. I can't say anything other than to say that in my mind it's a masterpiece. And it always will be. So there you got it. I honestly didn't even get to all the things that I wanted to, but I'm going to wrap it up here because I've been going too long. I want to hear from you if there are any Dragon Age fans out there, if you're excited about the fourth game, if you're excited, if you just love the series in general, please let me know. I want to know that I'm not alone. If Dragon Age Origins is very, very special to you, as it is to me, let me know. Tweet at me. Remember, I am at VaultRPG on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. If you've listened this far, I really, really, really appreciate the support. Remember that this is the Level 99 Daily Show, and I am your host, Philip. Until next episode, go game your hearts out. I will see you.